Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisai. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem and shalom to all of Klal Yisrael. We're learning Netzach Yisrael, Maral's Netzach Yisrael, Perek Hei. Let's just bring ourselves up to date in where we stand in Maral's discussion. The Maral has been explaining the Chazal basically break the Churban into three parts in terms of the material Churban. There was the Churban of Yerushalayim, there was the Churban of Beitar, and there was the Churban of Tur Malka. Chazal kind of describe the fall of these three places as three, you call it three stages in the Churban, or three dimensions of the Churban. The Churban had three parts to it, kind of comes out from Chazal. Even though we usually think of the Churban in terms of the Beis HaMikdash per se, the Beis HaMikdash is really epitomizing the Churban of the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael. So to bring ourselves up to date with where we are in the Maral, he said that Yerushalayim, Beitar, and Tur Malka together epitomized the Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael in its fully rounded form. The foundation of our presence in Eretz Yisrael is, of course, what is at the root of all Jewish identity, the connection with the Shekhinah. The presence of the Shekhinah in Klal Yisrael is what gives Klal Yisrael its identity, its value, and this was manifest in Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. Another symptom of Jewish flourishing, of the Jewish state of affairs, was the numerousness of the Jewish people, how many Jews there were living in Eretz Yisrael. So this was epitomized in Tur Malka, which was a city that had many, many, many multitudes. And the other manifestation of Jewish prosperity in Eretz Yisrael at the time was the well-settled state of the land, the well-built, well-structured, well-settled state of the land. This was epitomized in the great fortified city of Beitar. And now the Maral is focusing on how Chazal described what instigated the destruction of each of these three places. And he's going to show what the deeper meaning behind each one is. So we began with Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed through the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, the famous story that we're all familiar with. And the Maharal is explaining to us that the destruction of Yerushalayim, meaning which was really the departure of the Shekhinah from Klal Yisrael, came about through this story. Because the presence of the Shekhinah, we've already discussed this earlier, the presence of the Shekhinah was by virtue of Klal Yisrael being united. As we discussed, in the second Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael were not on high enough of a level to actually warrant the presence of the Shekhinah to such a level, to a Beis HaMikdash level, because of their greatness. Rather, even though they weren't mamish up to par, the fact that they were so unified, that earned them Ashras HaShekhinah. A unified Klal Yisrael earns the presence of the Shekhinah, even if it's not completely up to par. So now, he tells us that it was the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa that epitomized the cause of the Shekhinah to depart, which was when the Achdus among Klal Yisrael, when the unification among Klal Yisrael was disbanded. Now he says how the Beis HaMikdash, this is what we've been discussing the last few days, how the Beis HaMikdash was really the glue bringing all of Klal Yisrael together, because Jewish life was centralized around the Beis HaMikdash. And we discussed that at length. We're not going to discuss it now. We're going to move further in the discussion. But again, we're working with the understanding that the Beis HaMikdash was epitomized and also was the glue bringing Klal Yisrael together as one. It was the unifying force of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when the Achdus of Klal Yisrael broke apart, Yerushalayim fell. Yerushalayim fell because the presence of the Shekhinah was no longer justified. And this came about through the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So now the Maharal is going to analyze the story of Kamtza Bar Kamtza in an interesting way. So, isn't it interesting that these names, well, the names are similar, right? That's the whole story. The story was that there was a fellow who had a friend whose name was Kamtza, an enemy whose name was Bar Kamtza, right? And he meant to invite Kamtza to a feast that he made. Accidentally, his servant went and invited Bar Kamtza. He kicked Bar Kamtza out in a humiliating fashion, and that's what caused that's what started the ball rolling toward the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we have to understand, and Avigdor Miller used to point this out, that is not to say that the Churban was simply caused by this story. It doesn't work that way. Something of such major implication on the Jewish people as a whole is not going to be the haphazard result of some incident. But rather, the idea is that this incident really was just a epitomized, Hashem used this incident as something that epitomized the problem, the sinas chinam, which was rampant then. So Hashem took an incident of sinas chinam, a strong, pronounced incident of sinas chinam, and used that as to get the ball toward the Churban rolling. So now the Maharal says, note the name Kamtza. He says the name Kamtza implies separation. It implies separation. How's that? What does the word Kamtza mean? What's the Hebrew word that it comes from? Komatz. Kamitza. What does Kamitza mean? It means to close the fist. Right? Where do we know the word kamitza from? From the Karban Mincha. When you bring a Karban Mincha, a meal offering, flour offering, it's flour mixed with oil, the Karban Mincha. You bring a Karban Mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, how does the offering work? The Kohen takes a tight fistful, he closes his fist tight, and takes a small amount of this flour and oil, of this meal, takes a small amount of it in his fist, takes it away, pulls it off, burns it on the mizbeach, that's the carbon, the rest of it is eaten by the kohanim. So, a kamitza is breaking apart one part. It's separating one part from the other. It is taking what used to be one big large mass and making a little piece out of it, breaking apart a little piece. It also, it's a tight fist. It's a fist like holding on to something and not letting it be shared with the rest of whatever is out there. So this is kamitza. Komatz. And therefore, Maharal says that Kamitza actually denotes separation. It denotes individualism, not being part of one unified people. And now he goes another very interesting example of how this word is used in this way. This is fascinating when you see how what seemed to just be the same word for completely different meanings actually come together at the root. Kamtza, the Aramaic word kamtza, also means locust. It also means locust. Superficially, there's absolutely no connection between that and the word kamitza. It just happens to be the same word used for both. But the Maharal says that no, locusts actually also represent separation, a lack of unity. Now that sounds surprising, because locusts actually, in a large sense, they might look like the epitome of Achdus. You have a huge, huge swarm of locusts, right? They could be millions and millions of them, all flying together in perfect unison, going about a task in perfect unison and perfect synchrony. But the Maharal says, no, that's not actually what's happening. That's not actually what's happening. What you see is one great, a great disjointed band. There isn't a joint agenda there. Because think about it for a minute. You have 10 million locusts flying together. Do they have a joint agenda? No. If they'd be an army that wants to destroy a field because it's the enemy, that would be a joint agenda. But here, that's not what's going on. Each one only wants to eat. They're not trying to achieve anything collective. The individual locust has no interest in the entire field being destroyed. Each individual locust wants one thing. He wants to eat. He has no interest in the ones around him, just that they all fly together. They all fly together, and together, each on his own, eats his own meal. Now it comes together to the collective destruction of the field. But that wasn't anybody's idea. None of the locusts are interested in that. Each one is interested only in his own agenda, his own meal. Each one is only coming for his own private supper. That's all. And therefore, the Maharal shows, he brings another pasuk from Mishlei that says, Melech ein la arbe. The arbe, the locusts, they have no king. Now, simply understood, the pasuk seems to be like a marveling over how, look at this, they have no commanding force, and they all work together in unison to do what they do. But the Maharal says that actually it's the other way around. The intent here is, it's stressing that there is actually no unison here. When you have a huge army, it's the commander, it's the king on top who turns it into one uniform agenda. The entire army is geared toward conquering this country. There aren't individual agendas here. They're all working toward the same thing. He says, now the Arba have no melech. There isn't anything unifying their agenda. These are 10 million locusts, each with his own agenda. There is no mutual interest. There's no shared vision. Each one is going to eat his own supper. So yes, you have, on the contrary, the Maharal says, locusts epitomize a huge, huge group that are not unified, that are not unified. It's each man for himself. It's each man for himself. And therefore, once again, they're also called kamtza. So, okay. Now, he adds another point, that kamtza also denotes something small, because the individual versus the whole crowd together is something small. That's why, again, we said like it's a tight fistful of meal. So in all these different ways, he's showing how the word kamtza and a few different uses that seem unrelated are all coming, all carry the same concept. Individual, separate unit, rather than something unified, a joint mass. So now he comes back to our discussion. Therefore, he says, the people who are being used as the example used to illustrate the sinas chinam that was present in Klal Yisrael, the division, the separation that was rampant in Klal Yisrael, it's very appropriate that they are called Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Because this name denotes separation, it denotes division, and this was really what was the root cause of the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, the Sinas Chinam. Okay. So now, the Maharal goes on to an interesting question that many of the Mefarshim ask. The way the Gemara terms it is, because of Yerushalayim was the Akamtzu bar Kamtzan Nechav Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamtza and bar Kamtza. Now that sounds strange, because, again, who were these two people? Kamtza was the friend who was meant to be invited to the feast and was never invited. He was not a part of the story. He was on the sidelines, didn't even know what was happening. Bar Kamtza was certainly an active player. He was the enemy who was invited, who was humiliated, and because of his own slight to his pride, he went ahead and brought destruction on the entire Jewish people. So, it makes sense to say that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Bar Kamtza. But why say that Yerushalayim was destroyed of Kamtza? Why are we mixing him in here? His name got mixed in by mistake, but he wasn't an active party here at all. He wasn't the party Bechlau. He was completely at the side. He didn't even know the story was going on. Why do we attribute the Churban to him? So here the Maharal makes a very, very profound point, which actually holds a lot of relevance. He says, who was Kamtza? He was the good friend of the host, right? The host was an enemy of Bar Kamtza. So he says, what very often happens is, that when there's rift, when there's controversies, friendships are formed not because of the right purposes, not because of achdus, but actually friendships are formed in order to fight the common enemy. And he says this, such a friendship is not called a friendship of achdus. It's not called achdus. This is also called division. This friendship itself is called peirud. It's called division. We don't attribute, if you see three people uniting together to fight a common enemy, and they really form a deep bond between them that carries absolutely none of the value that we attribute to Achdus. We simply view that friendship as another example of Machloikis, another example of Pirud and division. And therefore, he says, this is what this friendship was. This host was good friends with this Kamsa. They were part of the same party. They were part of the same party, joint in their opposition to the other party, who Bar Kamsa was a party of, was a member of. So therefore, on the contrary, this friend Kamsa, A, he also has the name Kamsa. He's also called, his name also denotes separation. And B, yes, we do attribute the Khurban to him also, because on the contrary, here you see that it wasn't only the enmity between the enemies that caused the Khurban, but the story was that it was because of the friendship that was formed in order to fight the common enemy. That's part of what caused the Khurban. Such friendships we don't view as Achdus. Such friendships we view as division as well. And therefore, yes, Kamsa also, the friend. The friend is credited also with causing the Khurban of the Beis HaMikdash. Now that's a very profound point that deserves some elaboration, but we'll stop here for tonight.